another day, another month, right? Brand new month to serve the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter number 4. And we're going to read a story about how Jesus shared the gospel with the woman at the well. But we're going to see her response after she received the gospel. So we've been spending a few weeks talking about the gospel, how to share it, what it is, some tips, some questions to overcome. But we will also now want to figure out what to do after we receive it, right? What's the next step? And we want to make sure that we are doing what God calls us to do, to be faithful to the gospel witness. And so we're going to begin reading in John chapter number 4. And we'll go ahead and start. We'll read the whole story, I guess. We'll start in verse number 9. So it's a long story, but we'll read the whole thing. And the key verses that we're kind of honing in on this morning is 28 and 29. But we'll start in John chapter 9. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest not have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. And yet no man said, "Why seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" We'll pray, and then we'll begin our lesson. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time that you've given to us. We love you. We appreciate the gospel. We are so grateful for it. God, I do pray that you help us to now, as we've received the gospel, to make the commitment to share that gospel with others, the commitment to multiply, the commitment to give the gospel to others. And I do pray now that you bless this time, pray that you bless this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if there's one thing that's clear in the New Testament, it's that the gospel does not end with receiving it. It's the truth that we need to pass on to others. We need to make sure that other people know the message as well. And from this story, from the woman at the well, she immediately left her water pot. She had a job. She went there to do something. She went there to draw some water. She was on a mission to accomplish. But when she met Jesus Christ, when she received him, when she understood that he was the Messiah, she left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" In Thessalonians, they told everyone who came into contact about Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, they said, "For For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. It's amazing, the church at Thessalonica, they decided that because we've received the gospel, we're going to share with everybody, so that when Paul and the mission team arrive to share the gospel, they don't need to speak to anybody because they've already spread it to everybody. Pretty incredible. So it's clear that spreading the gospel is the normal response of receiving the gospel. If you've received the gospel, a normal response is to spread it. And so our responsibility does not end with leading a person to Christ and seeing them baptized and on their way in spiritual growth. We are to begin that process of multiplication, to begin that process of discipleship, to teach them to likewise share the gospel and lead others to Christ. That's our job. So our job is to find somebody who doesn't know Christ, give them the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. They receive that message. Then we see them, bring them to church, see them baptized, see them growing in their Christian faith, see them attending church, and then begin to teach them how to do the same thing. And so the multiplication process will happen. So in other words, God spreads for the spreading the gospel isn't merely addition, it's multiplication. And when you share the gospel with another person, they trust Christ as their Savior, that's addition. Somebody's added to God's family. And then when you teach that new Christian how to share their faith with others, and how in both sharing the gospel and leading other people to Christ, that's multiplication. So now one becomes two, and two people are sharing, and then two people becomes four. That's multiplication. And so we want to see that process happen as we are obedient to the Great Commission. That's what we've been commanded to do. That's something we have to understand. That's our primary goal, is to spread the gospel. It's huge, because it's so easy to get distracted with this world in which we live. It's so easy, even for Christians, to get distracted with lesser goals, with lesser missions that aren't the gospel. And we have to maintain our focus to continue preaching the gospel. And there's so many causes that we can get involved in, and there's many valid and good causes, but if they're not the gospel, they're not the greatest cause. They're not the commission that we've been given as a church. That's why we're here, is to spread the gospel, to see this multiplication process happen. And it's something that's very important for us to stay focused on, to stay after in sharing the gospel. And again, I think there's many wonderful causes. I think ending hunger is a great cause. It's a terrible thing to think about, people going to bed hungry at night. It's a terrible thing to think about. I think that's a great cause, but we have to include with that the gospel. Because somebody can go to bed every night with a belly full for their entire life, and without the gospel, they'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And so the most important thing is to make sure they hear the gospel. And on the other side of that, again, it's a terrible thing to think about, but you can go to bed every night with your tummy hungry, but if you have the gospel, if you receive Christ as your Savior, there's everlasting life on the other side of it. And so this life is but a vapor. And again, I'm not for people going to bed hungry, but our primary goal is getting folks the gospel. That's very important that we keep that mindset. We keep that at the forefront of what we do, keeping the main thing the main thing. And this is how the early church grew so quickly in the first century. We see the progression from addition to multiplication in the book of Acts. We read in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, that they were added to the church. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a big addition. But they were added to the soul. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And it continues on in Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. So in the very beginning parts of the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 2 to verse 5, the Bible uses the word added when it talks about people being saved. But then the word changes. Around Acts chapter 6, when new believers became grounded in God's word and through the instruction of the local church, they multiplied. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, in those days, when the numbers of the disciples was multiplied. It continues on in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. So continuing on in the book of Acts. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplying. So it's not a matter of how many people were coming to know Christ, because the truth is, 3,000 people on one day is pretty incredible. That's pretty amazing. That's quite the haul, if you will. So it's not the amount of people, and then later, 5,000 people come to know Christ, added to the church. So the reality is, it's not about the number being added, it's the means in which they're being added. Because what's happening is these that are added are now being trained, and they're going out, and they're preaching the gospel, and so the process is multiplication. It's not about the numbers, it's about the method in which the church is reaching these people. And so it's not one person preaching, it's a multitude, and that's why there's a multiplication process happening. And so as a soul winner, you want to be reaching people regularly for Christ and seeing them added to the church. That's crucial. Through the preaching and the teaching and the discipleship ministries of the local church, these new Christians will learn to share their faith, and then that process multiplies. And that's what we need to see. That's how you reach a community. That's how you impact the world for the cause of Christ. And it's all in the Bible. It's an amazing thing that we live in a day when everybody's trying to find out the new method. What's the new thing? We need the new thing that's going to reach somebody. And the reality is we just need to go back to the Bible and start this process of multiplication. It's real simple. It's not complicated. It does require a little bit of work. It does. It's not something that's not just easy where you can say, you know what, hey, we really want to do this. Let's write the check. Boom, it's done, right? No, you have to work at this. It's tough. It's difficult. There's a lot of follow-up. There's a lot of calling and helping folks along their journey in their faith. But it's rewarding because it works if we work it. But how can you as an individual participate in this process? There's a few things that I want to look at this morning that will help us turn multiplication or addition into multiplication. So how can you personally be involved in this process within the church body to see a large number of people saved and baptized and discipled so that we can continue to see that multiplication process? The first thing that we need, that you and I need, is intentional involvement. Intentional involvement. A new Christian has a natural desire for others to hear the gospel. And a wise Christian, soul winner, will involve a new Christian in sharing his faith and learning how to do it effectively. So there's three very good ways to do this. First of all is to encourage a new Christian to invite others to church. We have tracts. You get those tracts, and you want to invite folks to come to church. Even before a young Christian feels ready to personally lead somebody to Christ, they can invite their friends to church where they can hear the gospel. And that's an important part of the process. And it's an amazing thing how people respond to that. Again, there's a guy, Nate, that I met actually playing basketball, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him very much, but I ran into him at Costco. He's working at Costco. And so I got a chance to stop and talk to him and say, hey, you know, I noticed just new coming out to basketball. Are you new to the island? He said, yeah, I just got here, just moved here. I said, whoa, where are you living? He said, we live in Kalaeo. My wife works at the Hyatt. I work here at Costco, and we just moved here. I said, oh, that's great. And talked a little bit about how he's got here and stuff like that. He said, well, listen, I'm the pastor at Quiet Baptist Church. If you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you come check it out. And I gave him actually my business card, and I said, if you ever need anything, call me, but we'd love to have you come. And on Sunday, he was here. Man, I could have said, well, he'll probably not come to church if I invite him. And honestly, that thought crosses my mind. You know, they're not going to come. I've invited hundreds of people before, and many of them said no. And I think a lot of that is our flesh. It's the devil trying to convince us not to be a witness. But keep inviting people to church. Keep passing out tracts. You're never going to know who you're going to come across. And there's so many people that it's just amazing that God puts us in their path for such a time as this to invite them to come to church. Because they may be going through something in their life and they've been thinking about it. Man, I need to get to church. Man, I wonder where I should go to church. And then you show up, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Whoa! You know, this is it. Thank you, God. I got my answer. And here I go. But oftentimes we're so timid and we don't want to share it because we don't know how they're going to respond. And the reality is just invite them. You know, they can choose not to come. It's not like you're forcing them. It's not like you're demanding, hey, you have to come to church or I'm no longer going to be your friend. Maybe you could try that. That might be a good, no, don't try that. But the reality is, you know, keep inviting folks and encourage new Christians to invite others to church, their family and their friends. It's an amazing thing to see. We've seen it many times. When a young Christian will get saved, the next Sunday, their family member will be here. A brother, a sister, a mom, or dad will be in church because they want them to hear the same thing. They need to hear the same message. And so make sure that we're continuing to invite people to church. It's very important. And then invite the new Christian to go out soul winning with you, to go and engage people in the process of to help them learn. That's how they learn. One of the best ways to engage a new Christian in soul winning is to simply ask them to go with you. Hey, come check it out. I'll show you the ropes. It's easy. And to ask them to do that. Offer to help a new Christian share the gospel with friends or relatives. This is a great way to help them learn, to say, hey, do you have anybody in your family that you think needs to hear this message? It's interesting, but a lot of people do this for their business. And they're fine with it, right? But when it comes to the gospel, we're a little skittish. Don't be skittish, because this is the message they have to hear. Everything else doesn't matter as far as eternity is concerned. They need to hear this message. Do you have anybody in your family that needs, do you have any friends that you would like to hear this message? You think would benefit from this? Oh, yeah. Well, let's go talk to them. I'll talk. You can come with me. Great, let's go. And it offers you opportunities to tell other people about Jesus, and it lets them learn how they can share their testimony with their friends. And so intentional involvement. When it comes to sharing the gospel, don't leave it up to random chance. Well, if they bring it up when I'm in the checkout line, then I'll tell them. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Well, at the party, if somebody brings it up, then yeah, you know, at the birthday party, I'll talk to them if they bring it up. I don't want to be too invasive. That's interesting. Well, you'll bring up other subjects, you know. And did you see the game the other night? Wow. How can we bring up that subject? We'll even bring up politics. We'll bring all kinds of stuff up. Bring up Christ. Bring up church. Be intentional in your involvement with spreading the gospel. It really works. Second thing is, don't forget to pray. Private prayer. We need to be a praying people. Sometimes we pray more fervently for people to be saved than we pray for them after they are saved. And this shouldn't be. All throughout Paul's epistles, we see him telling those he has led to Christ that he still prays for them. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." This is a church he's already visited. These are people that are already saved. He's still praying for these already saved Christians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." So he's talking about the Philippian Christians. He's praying for them too. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Churches of Colossae, praying for them too. Already saved people. We need to be making sure that we're private in prayer, praying for young Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And Philemon chapter 1 verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." Pray for these new Christians. I have a section on my prayer list where I pray for young new Christians because they are young. They're susceptible to the temptations of Satan. They're susceptible to fallout. They're susceptible to getting dragged out of church for whatever reason. And Satan will use all kinds of things. And so we need to make sure that we're praying for them, that we're helping them, that we're invested in them, that we're checking up on them. Hey, are you doing okay? How's it going? Oftentimes, I'll text people all throughout the week, many times a week, "How are you doing? How's it going?" Because I know they're going through a battle. "How's it going? I'm praying for you. Do you need anything?" I'll call them. "Hey, how's it going?" Because I know they're going through that battle. I want to make sure they're doing okay with it. The young ones, the new Christians, you've got to invest in those and make sure they're growing into maturity. Mature Christians you don't have to be so involved with, but you still want to make the connection. When you find out somebody's going through something, pray for them. Check up on them. Make sure they're doing okay. Speaking of prayer for new converts, there's a missionary, his name is J.O. Fraser. He said, "Just as a plant may die for lack of watering, so may a genuine work of God die and rot for lack of prayer." So we need to make sure that we're praying. Praying for the things that we want to see flourish in our ministry, in our church. If you want to see a person you led to the Lord continue growing in grace and becoming fruitful in the witness, don't neglect to pray for them. We need to be a people that are praying. Again, one of the detractors of prayer, one of the reasons why we don't pray, one of the things that hinders our prayers is sin. And if we're living in sin, we got the sin in our life, we're not going to be praying for people. We're not even praying for ourselves. We're not going to have that time of prayer. Sin hinders prayer. So we need to make sure that, hey, I want to be praying. I want to keep praying. And if you find yourself, you know, I mentioned this to a person recently. I believe this is true. It may sound harsh, but if you've been a year without church and you've missed Easter, something's wrong. You know? Something's not right in your Christian life. It's not good. I mean, you missed the big one. You missed the big day. Something's bad, right? Bad wrong. And then if you miss consecutive, and then if you miss a few weeks in a row, then check it out. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with your, if there's something wrong with your health and you need to get better, I understand that. And there are people in our church that struggle in their church attendance because they're not healthy. And that's okay. We pray for them. But if you go long periods of time without church attendance, then something's not right. And we need to make sure that we are praying for those people, helping them, and making sure that they're fruitful in their walk. And so make sure that if you go a long time even in your own life without prayer, it's an indicator something's wrong. Make sure you check it out. Get it right. And fix it, because you can't go on like that and be productive and be fruitful as a Christian. So private prayer. So intentionally engage, private prayer, and then have a faithful testimony. If you want the gospel to multiply, you have to remain faithful yourself. You have to stay faithful. One of the greatest gifts you can give a new Christian is that of a good example. And while the Christian faith will go on, the gospel is powerful. But if you lead somebody to Christ, you teach them to do the same, and they're going on preaching the gospel, and you quit, it's still going to go on. But it's much more effective if you have a faithful testimony. If you're the one that says, hey, listen, let's keep going. Let's keep striving. And again, an indicator, you want to look at your life. Is this the year that you've been the most faithful? In your Bible reading, in your prayer time, in your church attendance. Is this your best year? If it's not, why? What's wrong? You know, I sent out a letter this week with our first quarter report for our church, and if you didn't get them, I'm probably going to send out an email and maybe even on Facebook, but there's some tremendous things that happened in our church this year that have never happened in the history of our church, to which we say, praise God. God's at work. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's a testimony to the people of God being on fire for God. But think about this. In 2017, we've seen, since our building banquet, and we've seen $80,000 given to the building fund since February 19th. So February, March, April, now May, that's it. Like two months and a couple weeks. 80 grand. Our church has never seen that before. We've had more giving in the first quarter of 2017 than any other quarter in the history of our church. It's tremendous. It's powerful. It's wonderful. We've also, on Easter, had the largest attendance in our church in the history of our church. There's so many things that have happened this quarter, the previous quarter, that we've never seen in the history of our church. And that's amazing. But for you personally, are you on an upward tick or a downward tick? Are there new heights you're gaining every day? Or we may be on a little bit of a backslidden trail. And you want to investigate your own life first and say, hey, am I remaining faithful? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I where I'm supposed to be? And if you're not, do some investigation, figure out why what's happening is happening, and get it fixed. You know, it's the same thing is true with our physical health. If you feel something's wrong, if you feel something's not right, go to the doctor, find out what's happening, and get it fixed. You know, if you're sick, let's figure out what's going on. And that may be a long process, but don't be satisfied with being on a downward trend. Determined by God's grace, I'm going to remain faithful and continuing growing in the Lord. The Christian life is to be a growth process. You're supposed to grow. And if we're not growing, again, if we're not producing the same that we once were, why? What's wrong? What do we need to change? What do we need to fix? And trust me, it's not anybody else. Because our first response in the flesh to look at what's wrong is to point a finger. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's my job. It's my coworkers. It's my kids. It's this. It's that. We point at everybody else. And that's not it. The problem is in our own heart. It's our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's our heart. Our heart has gone cold. Our heart has gone hard. Our heart is not where it needs to be. Our love has waxed cold. I'll talk a little bit about it in the morning service. But because when iniquity abounds, the love of many waxed cold. That's what in Revelation Jesus said, you have left your first love. We can't leave our first love. We can't let our love grow cold, because if we love him, we keep his commandments. And so when we stop having that fervent love, we stop keeping his commandments, we stop obeying what he's told us to do, and the process starts downward. We got to keep that going. We got to stay faithful to what God has called us to do. So make sure that we continue new heights we're gaining every day, growing as a Christian. And it may mean, you may say, you know what, I had a lot of, it could be, you say, you know what, I had a lot of exterior growth where I was just trying to put on a show for people and my heart wasn't growing like it should have been. And that could be very easily the cause of what's happening. And it may mean you need to strip away what's causing the facade and start building true, genuine growth. Get some good fertilizer in there. Get some good preaching. Get some good singing. Get some good environmental stuff in there and start the growth process. Let your heart grow. Let your spirit grow. Continue to have the faithful testimony. One of the most discouraging things for a new Christian, and really any Christian, is for the person who led them to Christ to cease to be faithful, to stop being faithful, to say, hey, that person led me to Christ, and now they're no longer in church. That's a discouragement. That's a bummer. To say, man, they were the one that led me. They were on fire, and now where are they? Now you look at yourself and say, is that going to happen to me? Because it happened to them. And it's a discouraging thing. We need to make sure that we're faithful. So we need to remain faithful as a Christian. Make it your goal that, like the Apostle Paul, you will be able to finish your life faithful to the Lord and looking forward to meeting him face to face. Again, a good test to ask yourself this morning and say, would I want to talk to Christ face to face this morning about the way I've been living this week? Hey, let's go through what decisions you've made, the choices you made, what you said, what you did, what you looked at. Are we excited to talk to Christ about it face to face? I know that we have this overwhelming joy as a Christian. We want to see Christ, but do we want to talk about what we did last week? Interesting with the woman at the well, he did make mention of the things that she was doing previously. You know, he said, hey, the one that you have is not your husband's. You've had five. He's like, yeah, you must be a prophet. Yeah, you got me. We need to remain faithful. Are we excited about speaking to Christ face to face? Are we finishing our course with joy? Are we finishing our course that God intends for us to run? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, now I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Remember, it's not just about you. In our world in which we live today, people are focused on what they can get out of it. It's all about them. I'll mention this a little bit in the morning service. You know, church isn't all what you can get out of it. Well, I'm not getting anything out of church. That's not the only reason for church. The church is for you to put something into it too. You know, you're supposed to give. Remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's true. It's true in the body of Christ. And sometimes we only show up and say, hey, what can you do for me today? What can make sure that everybody treats me right, make sure everybody greets me, make sure everybody does what they need to do for me? What can I get out of it? But that's not what it's for. It's what you can put into it. How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? Being faithful and making sure that we have kept our course, we finished our course. People are looking at you. not in a way that they're criticizing or judging, but they're leaning on you to help them. It's a body. It's encouraging to see other people show up. Your auntie's outside in the overflow this morning, but she's an incredible encouragement to me as a pastor. She's always there. Always. And I see her in her place or outside, and she's always there, and it's an encouragement to me. And sometimes, she can probably hear me now, but sometimes she'll tell me, I didn't hear a word you said. Speak up! And it makes me go, man, you couldn't hear a word I say. You're still there every single time. That's a blessing to me. And she's helping me. And I don't know what her rewards will be. I'm sure they're great. But I know that when she gets to heaven, she will have been an incredible encouragement to her pastor. And to the other people who are saying, hey, she's there. I can be there too. People are looking. People need that encouragement. People need that edification. And there's nothing more discouraging than going and saying, oh, well, where is everybody? You know? Oh, well, I'm going to watch the game too. You know? Forget this. We look, we're depending on each other for encouragement. We're depending on each other for help. Is your church attendance, your devotional life, your ministry involvement, your family life, your relational investments, and your daily living something that would encourage a new Christian to continue his growth in grace? Because we want to have an environment in our church where a new believer can come in and be encouraged. So they come on Sunday night and they're encouraged. They come on Wednesday night, they're encouraged. And you had a part in that. We have an environment in our church that's encouraging new believers, that's helping new believers. You want to have that part in that, in making sure they're remaining faithful as a Christian. No one's perfect. Let's get that out of the way right away. None of us are perfect. I get that. I understand that. We're going to have slip-ups now and then. We're going to have a little bit of a up and down roller coaster. We all do. None of us are always on top all the time. Right, the devil attacks us. We have downward turns. We have discouraging turns. We have depressed turns. We have that. That happens, and that's one of the reasons why we need the encouragement. But determine that you'll have mechanisms built in that you notice that there's something wrong, and when something's wrong, determine by God's grace to get it right. We're gonna go up and down. When you get down here, when you start to notice that you're going down, say I gotta correct this. It's not good. I'm getting too far. This is not where I need to be. And get back up to where God wants you to be. It's how we live life. We're constantly repenting. If a person needs no repentance, he's either in a coma or he's lying to himself. Christians are regular repenters. We sin. We make mistakes. And if you're not repenting, again, you're either in a coma, you're lying to yourself, or you're on a downward trend. You have to be a regular repenter and getting right with God continually. Nobody's perfect, but we can faithfully work to have a consistent Christian testimony. And that should be our goal, to faithfully work. Doesn't mean you'll always be successful every single day, but faithfully work day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, to finish your course that God has set before us. And then determined to remain faithful as a witness. Be a faithful witness. The person, the person who led me to Christ was my parents. And I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, and my dad would take me out to visit folks, knocking on doors and stuff, and taught me how to lead people to Christ. I was going out from a very young age, all the way up through high school, all the way through college, now into the ministry, continuing to go out and tell folks about Jesus Christ. And the truth is it's an amazing thing to me to look back and see those people that I've had the opportunity to go out and be a witness with, to see them still being a witness. One of those that's so fascinating, so amazing, is Kenny Elledge's dad. He pastors Onahola Baptist Church, but his dad now he's now debilitated to the point where he can't even speak, but he has this terrible disease it's wreaking havoc on his body. It's causing him to be slumped over. He's losing all his strength. I remember him. He's a former Marine. He worked out every day. He's super strong. I remember him. He's just incredible, always working out, always strong, beat cancer. And he has this debilitating disease where it's just he's in a chair now. He can barely speak. But even now, he still has his older son taken to the hospital. And he goes into people's hospital rooms, and he barely can speak. But he asks him, basically, it's hard to understand. It's hard to mumble. I think his son interprets for him a little bit. But he asks him, what can I do to help you? I want to pray for you. And he tries to pray for people in that condition. And people in the hospital are like, my man, you're worse than I am. I'm in the hospital, but you need more prayer than me. And he's always looking to how he can be a witness. And he's led many people to Christ in that condition because he's determined to remain faithful as a gospel witness. And the truth is he could have packed it in years ago. He could have said, you know what? I've been a witness up to this point in my life. My health is gone. I can't even speak. People can't even hear me. I have to repeat myself. My son has to interpret for me. I've done my core. I'll just wait it out, right? Let the young people go. Let the others go. No, he remained faithful. What young people need today is not only an opportunity, but they need examples. And so many, the mindset of so many today is, hey, I've run my course. I've put in my time. Let the others do it. You can't have that mindset. Finish your course. Keep it going. Stay faithful as a gospel witness. We want to make sure that we are sharing the gospel. Continue. And again, it may not be to the level that you once were. It may not be to going out as often as you were. But still stay faithful in your witness. Still bring it up. Still talk to people, no matter where you're at in life. Because there's others who are looking to that and saying, you know what? They're going. I'm going to keep going. And oftentimes, that's helped me. There's that so many people that when you say, you know what, I feel like quitting, the devil's telling me to quit, I'm no good, I'm good for nothing, I don't belong here, but they're still going. And if they're still going, maybe I can still go on. A lot of times that's been a help to me and been an encouragement to me about my journey. Say, hey, they're still after it. Pastor's still at church. He's still going. They're still going. Let's keep going. Let's stay after. Let's stay faithful. Let's make sure that we have an impact. I want to encourage you this morning. Make it your goal that those who you lead to Christ will see you continue to be faithful as a soul winner through the years. Whether it's the following afternoon or the following decade, they'll see you continuing to seek out those who are lost and tell them Jesus saves. You know, it's a sad story, but there's a pastor who visits on a biannual basis. And he's been visiting for many, many years. And there's one person that's really kind of knit his heart to. And every year he'll come and he'll ask me, hey, where's so-and-so? Like, oh, well, not here today. And for the past few years he's asked, where's so-and-so? Not here. Sorry. And for that pastor, it's a source of discouragement. I wanted to see them. They were such a blessing to me back then. Years ago, they were a blessing to me. They helped me. They were encouragement to me, but I just wanted to see them, and they're not here. The thing is more important than a visiting pastor, more important than even those that we lead to Christ, we want Christ to find us faithful. When he comes, we need to be faithful. Keeping going, doing more this year than we did the year before. That's always my goal in ministry. There's things that I have that I want to do for our church, for myself personally, that I can't do this year. But there is one thing I believe by the grace of God and good health and all of that, that we can do is that we can do more this year than we did the year before. And next year in 2018, you can better believe we're going to strive to do more that year than we did this year. That's always my goal. That's always my mindset, and I break it down by month. I break it down by quarter. How can I do more this quarter than I did last quarter? And sometimes we miss marks. Sometimes we don't have the second quarter isn't as good as the first quarter, but we're always striving to be better. We're always striving to do more, both in my life personally, spiritually, physically, all of it. I want to be better, and it's about growth. It's about getting a baseline, getting good at that baseline, and then adding to that, adding to our faith. You know, that's how we're supposed to do it. And consistently find areas to improve. And I want to challenge you with that in our church. No matter where you're at as a Christian, okay, you're there. That's where you're at. All right. Fine. Get a baseline and build. That's what our goal, that's what grow. And determine that this week is going to be the start, and then next week you're going to build on that which you already started, and you're going to continue to be faithful, get that down, and then you're going to add to that. And you get that down, and you're going to add to that. And continue to grow in our witness, in our faithfulness to church, in our efforts, in our endeavors, in everything. Grow. We need to have that mindset of the Christian. We'll close for prayer, and then we will have the morning service here in a few minutes. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this Sunday school series. I pray that help us to get active in sharing our faith. Lord, help us to practice. Even if there's somebody here today that says, you know what, I'm not sure I could share my faith. Well, God, I pray that you encourage in their heart to practice. They can. You know, it's not that hard to learn the points, to learn the Romans road or whatever it is, a few verses that establish that you love us, that you died for us, that we are sinners, there's a price for our sin, you died for that price, and that we can trust you as our Savior. Then that's it, and some corresponding verses with that, and then boldness to go. I pray that you give each one of us that this week. Help us to be soul winners. Help us to be witnesses of what you've called us to be, God, sharing the gospel. And God, I do pray that you bless our church as we seek to be obedient to what you've called us to be, to go and tell, to preach the gospel to every creature, to teach, Lord, to give the gospel. I pray that you would bless us as we seek to do these efforts. Lord, I pray that you give us what we need, provide for us in only ways that you can. We thank you for this time. I pray that you bless the morning service to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a note here of schedule. Next Sunday,